open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses there in just a moment. There's something going on in our family right now that that you can pray for us about if you think of it. But what's going on is moving. And Sue and I aren't moving. And Julia's not moving. But all three of the guys are moving. And moving can be a trial and a challenge, right? Alex has to be out of his house tomorrow, but he can't move into his next house until August 1st, so he gets to move twice. And Jordan, of course, moved out of the dorm at Georgia in May and is moving into a house in August. Austin, for the first time, is moving out of our house to a house in Athens in August. Lots of moving. And there's something about moving that can kind of bring you to your knees, right? Now, how many of you have moved before? Most of us have moved. If you haven't moved, you're probably really young. How many of you love moving? Only one person loves moving, and they did not have to pack or carry heavy things. You know, there's this common experience of moving, I think, that most of us who have moved do this at some point, is you look at all your stuff and you ask, where did this stuff come from? And why did I get all this stuff? You know, even if it's just one room of stuff, like the guys, you think this is way too much stuff, and you don't want to move it. And it's easy to get overwhelmed, to get stuck where you can't do anything. And you're thinking, if I stay stuck here long enough, somebody will come and do it for me. But you, when you're stuck and when you're overwhelmed like that, you feel like, I don't know where to start. I can't do this. I feel alone. I feel powerless. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed like that about moving or anything else? But have you ever been overwhelmed and stuck in a place where you felt powerless and then somebody or some people showed up to help? And how does that feel? That feels great. Sometimes you think, I knew that if I just waited long enough, somebody would show up. But sometimes you don't know if somebody's going to show up or not. I remember moving here a little over 10 years ago when we moved to have so many people show up to help us unload our truck. Many of you in this room were there and helped us. And, you know, I secretly vowed to never move again after that. I don't know if that's going to work out or not. But the truth is, if you worked long enough and hard enough, you could move yourself. Now, you might have to leave some of the heaviest things behind. But you could get all the stuff you need to live somewhere else. You could do it if you just stuck with it and you did it all yourself. But what if the thing that you're stuck on, what if the thing that overwhelms you right now is not something that's just difficult or unpleasant? What if it's something that's impossible? What if the thing that is making you stuck, what if the thing that was overwhelming you was, people, what you need to do is be good enough to deserve salvation. Now, that's a place where you can get stuck and where you can get overwhelmed, and there's nothing you can do about it because none of us can be good enough to deserve salvation. And that's where we've all been. You're either there now or we have been. And sometimes maybe we can forget that place. And And one of the things that happens when we forget that there was nothing we can do about is we start over trying to be good enough again. We can start and by our goodness or by our works start trying to earn God's favor or trying to earn salvation, and we get back on that treadmill, which will always lead us back to the place of being stuck and being overwhelmed and feeling alone and feeling there's nothing I can do. And you know what? We're right when we get to that point. You know, in just a few moments, we're going to take communion together. And communion is a celebration of togetherness, a celebration of relationship, a celebration of being included. And it's about our relationship with God, about being together with God, about being included in God's family. And it's also a celebration of our togetherness as God's people. It's a celebration of our relationship collectively. It's a celebration of being included with each other. And it came at a time when we were stuck, when we were overwhelmed, when we were in a place where we truly were powerless. In Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In communion, we celebrate the fact that God didn't leave us alone. God didn't leave us powerless. In fact, God was willing to sacrifice for us. But as I said a moment ago, communion is also a different kind of celebration, too. It's a celebration of being together with each other. Different things can overwhelm us. Some tasks can seem too great. What if the task that you had to do alone was change the world? You ever see anything in the world that you think ought to be changed? There's a couple things out there, right? A couple of things that you would look at and say, you know what? Somebody ought to do something about that. It would be really great if somebody saw that need and cared enough to do something. But when we're doing it alone, sometimes we can feel so small and so insignificant. And we talked a little bit last week about, I think that's one of Satan's lies that he feeds us, and that the little things we do really are insignificant, but they're not. But it can feel that way sometimes. But gather a few people doing those little things, and you start getting a vision for actually making a difference. And then sometimes you discover other people doing things that you knew nothing about. And maybe like the same way you were doing good, you were doing works of the kingdom kind of in secret, and you found out there's other people out there also doing the same kind of things. And there's a spirit that begins to grow, the spirit of encouragement, the one that drives out those feelings of being alone and being powerless and what I do doesn't make a difference. Because God not only has not left us alone in terms of our salvation, but he hasn't left us alone in terms of what's going on in this world. We as a body have been able to experience that kind of togetherness in many ways, most recently through Summer Surf 2014. We've been doing little things, but gathering our whole family to do things together. And a part of the impact of that, as we can see in front of us here today. And when you're a part of something like that, feelings that wells up inside of us is that we are better together than apart. We have something to celebrate in the fact that we are a part of a spiritual family. We are a part of God's people all over the world. We also experience it with the organizations that we're partnering with in our Summer Serve program. We ask you, members of Cornerstone, to go out and find organizations that were serving and making a kingdom impact, and you came back with so many great ideas. We couldn't do all of them, but we chose a few, and some representatives of those organizations are here today, and a part of what we're celebrating is togetherness with you. And the encouragement and the power for good that we feel when we understand that we're not in this alone. And that every day, every week, things are being done so that people experience the love of God. We have so much to celebrate today. Communion is a celebration of togetherness, togetherness with God and with each other. And communion is a reminder that no matter what we're facing, we always have God and we always have each other. We're included with God in relationship, in fellowship, and we're included with each other in fellowship, in relationship. But it all started when God saw us overwhelmed, stuck, and powerless. And God said, I will not leave you there. While we were powerless, Christ died for us. This morning, as we eat the bread, as we drink the cup, which we do in remembrance of Christ's body broken and his blood poured out, we celebrate the fact that God has included us and that we are included with each other. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. God, thank you for not leaving us alone.